What did you carry with you today? What did you carry here today? Think about what you brought with you, physically. We'll get to the spiritual. You know where this is going. But physically, what did you bring here? Think about it for a moment. Some of you brought coffee. Yep, we got absolutely. Like number one on the list, it seems like. Phones. Some of you, yep, Bibles. Purses, ladies, I'm assuming there's some purses in the room. You brought some purses here. Some of you brought people with you, like you carried a person here into the building today. This is Mother's Day, and we're going to be talking about, we're going to be hearing from a pretty great mom that's sitting up here on the stage next to me, my wife Pam, in just a few moments. Yeah. So before we get there, though, I want to think about that for a moment. Think about what you carried here today. What did you bring here today? Think about kind of what you accumulate around you. I don't know how many of you struggle like I do. Like I think a lot of people struggle with bringing too many things that you don't need with you, which is not real fun. And I as a parent, like it was shocking the amount of things I needed to carry as a new parent specifically. It's like, man, going home from the hospital, it's like, I cannot believe I have this many things that I have to carry. And there's a little, I call the baby pod, you know, the little baby carrier thing, which it's the self-contained apparatus that the baby sits in. I like that. Anyway, the idea of the things that we carry and sometimes carrying too many things, I have gotten pretty good. I'm a recovering, like, pack rat when it comes to going on trips and stuff like that. Like, I'm pretty good about traveling light that way. But where I'm not good with traveling light is with what I put in my pockets. Like like Pam knows that if she needs a pen, I have one in my pocket. It's in my pocket. I have little mint things in my pocket. Of course, I got my keys. I got my phone in there. But we'll shove receipts in there, and it just becomes like a storage system after a while, you know. And I know that I have a problem when there's three pens in my pocket. That's just way too many. Like three pens? Are you kidding me? Two maybe. And right now I have two pens in my pocket. But traveling light, we want to be able to travel light, bring the things you need, and don't bring unnecessary things. In life, I think that's a good rule of thumb. And some of you, you know, as parents, you really do have to carry a lot of things. And that's one of those things that I've realized as a parent. It's like the amount of carrying stuff just is profound. And there's a phrase that Pam's going to kind of introduce us to that I'm sure you've heard before, but it's a favorite phrase of Pam's, and we both enjoy this phrase. But I'm going to turn it over to Pam for a little bit. So we're going to hear from Pam this morning for part of the teaching time. And so, Pam, take it away.
Good morning. So just so you know, all of the moms are up here in this room. I know. So all the youth are downstairs working the kids' ministry. And I said, just shut the door and don't let them out. So, yes. And it's funny because there's some moms that never sit in church together. So I was like, this is so cool. You guys get to sit together. One of my favorite phrases, my sister Beth and I, we like to throw back and forth, is the phrase, I'm picking up what you're putting down. And I know. It's just a fun one. And as a mom, I can literally say that I am picking things up all day long and picking them up again and then again and again. And my favorite thing is when they got the thing out, but they're not sure where to put it back. And I'm like, you know where to put it back because you got it. But they don't, it's like you forget where things go. So I have a blog. Don't go and look for it because it's called Probably Should, because I thought I probably should have one. But there's only 4 blog entries there, but one of them, every so often, I'll be sitting, like, stuck in a line, and I'll go back and look at my blog, which was from, like, I got really ambitious about 2 years ago, right after New Year's. You know how you're like, yes, I'm going to do this, and wrote, like, 4 blog entries, and then found out that I was about to be, or that I was pregnant with Sophia, and then that was done. I'm like, and the blog's over. So yeah, probably should, but I went back, I was sitting in line at Dutch Brothers, and I was looking through, and I noticed this one blog just kept getting lots of hits to it, and so, which surprised me, because I hadn't looked in a while, and so, like, back in April or March, it had, like, 35, which I mean, I know in blog world is not very much, but for me, I'm like, 35 people had looked at this blog, and so, and it's based on the phrase, I'm picking up what you're putting down, and the idea for writing the blog post came from the passage in Scripture in Luke 9, where it talks about denying yourself and picking up your cross and walking daily. And it started me thinking about all the ways that my family jokingly uses that phrase, but literally how many things I'm picking up and putting down all day long, or trying to put down if it's my daughter and she doesn't let me put her down, but all those things. And so my problem, and maybe yours too, is that I so much want to control when and where I put things down and pick things up. And God doesn't always have that as a part of his plan. He puts things in front of you that have to be picked up right away. And we're not ready for it. Or he says, hey, I need you to pick this up, but we're holding so much of our own things that we can't because we haven't put anything down. So that's kind of where this idea of the talk came from. And so I'm going to talk about the three things that Jesus wants us to put down, because I'm the mom and putting things down is easy and it's Mother's Day. So, and then Donnie's going to talk about the things you have to pick up, because that's the work. So I get to go first. But if you look in your program, the verse that I kind of picked to go with the three things that I found is Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. And I put it in your program, and I'm sure it'll, I don't know how this works, but I'm sure it'll be up on the screen magically, maybe. I say that and then it won't work, of course. But we are looking at that verse, and I'm someone that likes to mark in my Bible and write things, and I'm a teacher. So if I thought some of you don't like to do that, but if you want to mark any of the verse, things that jump out at you, I wanted to put that in your program. I tell my youth kids that they can just mark it up and remember certain words and things. So that's why I gave it to you guys in the program to do. But I'm going to go ahead and read through the first part, and then we'll go back and look at it. But it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I love that passage, and as I kind of went back through and studied it, I like to study kind of each word and what it means. I started with therefore, and it's basically saying, okay, so since what we just read before happened, therefore this is what we have to read now. So I'm also a mom, of course, and so I like verses that are really good for boys, because anything that's like got fighting in it or dragons, so there's lots of good stuff in the Bible. But this is one of mine in particular that I like, because if you go up into book or chapter 11, right before, it's talking about all of the people of faith that came before Jesus. And so it talks about them, and it says, and this is verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah.
Yes. Just say it with confidence, and it'll
Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. And this is the boy part. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That's guys like kids, boys like that. They were sawn in two. They went about in skins and sheep of goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in the deserts, mountains, and in dens and caves and the earth. And the last part says, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. So we're talking about all of these great things that people of faith did throughout the Old Testament, and then saying, you know, but they still hadn't got what Jesus was going to bring. That wasn't going to be enough. And so we're talking about, therefore, since we are surrounded by these people that went before us, and you can think of even people in your own life that are like your mothers and fathers of the faith that have really kind of discipled you and led you to this point. Since we're surrounded by all these people, it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So the first thing that Jesus wants us to lay down is our burdens. And I'm going to read a couple of sections from my blog, because obviously 35 people thought it was good, so or at least looked at it. I guess it doesn't say that it's good, but but I wanted to read a little bit from that. And basically the idea of this came from, I was thinking through, when am I carrying lots of things? And I don't know about you, but I always think I can carry more from the car than is possible or humanly possible. So I'll go to the grocery store and I'll come back and I'm like, it's like all of a sudden, and I'm pretty competitive and I'm in like competition mode now. When I get to the pool in the driveway and I'm like, I'm gonna get all of this and I'm gonna do it in two tries or two loads. I say tries because that doesn't always happen. Two loads. I'm going to do this. So I start kind of loading the bags on, and you know, your arms become like metal, and you're like, you're carrying way more than you should carry on your arms.
Like, how many grocery bags can you really hang on your pinky fingers?
What I got,
you
know, 10. That's
why I try to find out every time I look.
So I load them all on, and in one of my favorite games growing up was Tetris, and so this is a little bit to me like Tetris, because you're fitting the bags in, and someone, when we were up at the camp with youth, it might have been Tammy, who said, you must be good at Tetris, because I loaded the van, like, with everything just right. And so I get everything, like, all stacked up, and then I have to make my way to, and we live in a split level, so you have to go up the stairs. So I make my way to the door, but of course, you have to go across the hose, and then our driveway's pretty rocky, and then there's pine cones, because we have tons of pine trees. So it's like you're jumping over things as you go. So it's, for me, it's pretty fun to get there.
So Donkey Kong also.
Donkey Kong, yeah. It's a lot like Tetris. Donkey Kong. Yeah. And so I'm jumping. In my head, I'm like, I'm jumping barrels, and I'm like a superhero right at this point. And I'm thinking, I got this. And so I get into the door, and I've got my load just perfectly stacked exactly how I want it, because I'm a little bit controlling in that area. In fact, I've given stuff over to people today to do, and they're very proud of me, because I was like, you do it however you want. So I got gold stars from some of my friends out there. They're like, good job. And so I get there, and I've got it all so cleverly stacked. But the problem is that that's been all my way. I did all of it my way. That wasn't the way maybe God had intended it to be. And I have loaded myself up with an extra burden that I didn't need to have. He didn't tell me I had to do it in two trips. That was my expectation, that I was like, no, I'm doing this. And sometimes those are good, but other times we put so many expectations on ourselves that we become weighed down with these burdens of these things that we think we have to do that we don't really have to do. And all this time, I'm sure I could have asked for help, but I don't ask for help. I just think, I got this, I can do this. And so one of the things Jesus wants us to put down is our burdens. And he wants us to put them down and say, you know what, I can carry them. And when we don't put down those burdens, the second thing he wants us to put down is our sin. And I love the part in the verse where it says, let us also lay aside every weight. And for me, when I do not allow God to carry my burdens and I take them back from him, that's sin. And I forget that. I think, oh, you know, it's no big deal. I'm just helping God out because I'm a mom and we do lots of things. But that's sin, to be taking things back from God when he said, give them to me. And so he wants us to give those burdens to him, and he wants us to lay our sin down. The next part of my blog is the part that talks about sin, so I'll go ahead and read that. But it says, so with my oh-so-cleverly stacked load, with victory in sight, just when I think that I've done it, my husband appears, asking if he can help. And this is my favorite part. It says, does he not know that I just played a round of Tetris and Donkey Kong just to get to this point? And now the art of trying to pass off the groceries in the way that doesn't take down my whole elaborate stack is way more than my mom brain can handle. And then, this is the worst part, I've really done it. Because as some of us ladies know, sometimes we're a little short with our husbands. Sometimes.
What? I don't.
And I have just, instead of putting down my bags and letting him help me, I've put something else down. I've put down a really bad attitude, or I've said some words that he's then picked up from me that I never intended. When I pulled in, we don't plan these things. When you pull into the driveway with your groceries, your thought is not, I'm going to fight with my husband on the stairwell. You do not plan that. You have a busy day. Your kids are busy. They need food. I don't know if your kids do this, but my kids say, can I have some food? And I'm like, that's not how we ask for food, but sure. My kids only want to do that. But I'm like, you know, we don't plan that. And so that was one of the two things, is God wants us to put down our burdens, because taking things back on our own is sin. But then he wants us to put down the sin, because when we're carrying things and so busy with ourselves, when even someone that Donnie's maybe using in my life comes and asks for help, we're not ready for it. Like, I would really rather just carry all my bags myself and struggle than try to depend on someone else, which is also that sin that we carry with us. And so the last thing that I was going to, let me finish reading part of the verse, but it says, let us lay aside every weight and then sin, which clings so closely. Oh, I wanted to say this about sin because I couldn't help it. When it talked about clinging so closely, I'm sure that as a mom, and I'm talking to the moms because I feel their pain, but I see dads too, down in the kids ministry, when you bring your little child downstairs and they're so cute and they got ready for church, and this morning mine has pigtails, Sophia, and yes, and so they're just so precious and they just cling to you and you want to bring them in, and they're supposed to go to their class. And you try to put them in their class, but they're like hanging on your neck and they're pulling at you. And then you finally are just like, please. And you're telling the teacher, just take the kid from me. And then we shut the door and then you just walk away. Just walk away. Now that's a cute thing that we don't want to let go of. But sin is that same way. It just clings to you because it becomes a natural thing that you would have with you. And I was telling the youth kids the other night on Wednesday, I said, you know, sin is that, starts as this cute little thing, and I always say of my toddlers, I'm like, look at that cute little sin nature they have, because it's like, how could a toddler already know how to be so bad, you know? But they totally know. They're born with it, right? And so they have this cute little sin nature and these cute little pigtails, but that's how sin is. It's this cute little thought in your head that's so precious. It has little pigtails, and they get longer, and it just hangs out there, and you just love it and nurture it, and we don't realize that it's becoming this thing that's going to cling to us with snot running down their nose and not want to let go of you. But that's the way sin works. It just kind of hangs on to you. And so I love that passage where it says it clings to us, but you have to lay it aside. And then this is my part that I love. It says, and then let us run. Because that's what I tell the moms to do downstairs. I'm like, go. Do not. I'm like, get, you do like the army crawl underneath the door and get away. Because They'll be fine once you leave the kids. They do settle down most of the time. There's that one occasion where you put the number shame up there and you're like, has to be the parent that gets called out. But that's good that like we have that system, but it's just kind of a funny thing. But it says, and then let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I love that phrase, let us run with endurance. I am someone that is committed and loyal, almost to a fault. I will keep doing something even if it doesn't look like it's working. And Donnie knows that about me. I am a competitive. I want to get it done. And I'm a little bit type A. You might have noticed that already. But I want to accomplish and I want to endure. But I looked up what that word endurance means in the Greek, and it's not what I thought, and I was very convicted when I found this out, but the Greek word for endurance in the Bible is, and I played it for Sophia on the phone all morning so I could say it right, and she thought it was hilarious. Who knew? But it's hupabane, and she, every time I'd play it, it's like hupabane, and she thought that was so funny. I think if you say it with an Italian accent, it sounds better, but it's like hupabane. But I fight like an Italian too, so shh, don't. But anyway, but I'm not Italian at all. So that idea of endurance is that you strive to complete something and you press on. But here's the catchy part. You do it with a happy heart. Now, oh, am I good at enduring? You can tell on my face when I'm enduring. I'm really good at it. And my kids know when I'm endured a lot. But I don't do it with a happy heart. And I'm like, man, that really got me because I want to, but I just have to realize that this third thing that Jesus wants us to put down is the idea of shame. And for me, the word shame means that you're not enough. And I have to put down the I am not enough for what Jesus has for me. Because when I hold on to that, then I am not able to endure with a happy heart. Because I'm enduring because I feel like I have to do it. Because if I don't do it, I'm not enough for whatever is called of me. I'm not enough for Donnie, or I'm not enough for my kids. But if I just keep fighting and struggling, that somehow I'm going to earn that enoughness. And that's not the way Jesus works. And I love that part about Jesus, that he's like, stands there, I could take this from you and help you, like Donnie would help me with the groceries, but we are so defiant sometimes. And we're like, no, I got this. Or when people say, how are you today? And you're like, fine, I'm fine. And you know in the last 11 minutes that it took to get to church, you yelled 3 times in the car. And like this morning, we literally were like, we have to start the service in 15 minutes. This is enough. Like, we're done with this. We're human, by the way. And our kids are very...
You were talking to me, right? When you said that. Yeah. No, it was to our kids. That was
yeah. I was like, our kids are very human. They're just like... and so we have to endure with a happy heart. And so that really helped me this morning, because on most mornings, let me just tell you my weekend, we took the youth to UGM and did a challenge course. We went to bed at like 1 o'clock and then had trouble sleeping, because I always have trouble sleeping. Got up at like 5, got everything ready, went through them the whole day and did everything, and then realized, and you'll see Rich and Laura went with us, they were up here, and then Katie was with us, and realized that we're all serving this morning. And I'm like, we didn't plan that very well, did we? Yeah. But I was really tired, and I got up early this morning to just sit. You know how you just want some quiet? Sit with my coffee and relax. And Sophie did too. She wanted to relax with me. So there was no relaxing happening, but I just felt like, you know what, God, you have this. And it's always like, God, when you're teaching on something like enduring with a happy heart, that he helps you by teaching you and giving you examples of how you need to endure. So I was a little bit proud of myself this morning that I didn't lose it too much. Baby steps, baby steps. But let me finish reading the rest of the verse, and then Donnie's going to tell you about the things that you need to pick up, which is good stuff. But it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And my last phrase, I'd written this down, so I said it just the way I wanted to, but it says, so put down your sins, put down your burdens, and put down your shame, because with your arms empty, there is so much more that Jesus wants you to pick up and carry with you.
That's awesome. Jesus asks us to pick certain things up and to put things down. The part of following Jesus is we don't carry the things that we don't need to carry, the things that he specifically asks us to put down. And we do that in order to pick up these other things that are good things that we need to pick up. And the things that Jesus asks us to pick up, if Jesus wants you to carry something, it's not going to be burdensome in the way that the things we talked about. Shame is a burden. Shame is a heavy thing to carry. You know, Pam and I were at a couple of conference-type things recently where shame kept coming up. And it's just this concept that I really have never done a study of that before, the idea of shame in the Bible, but it's all over the place, from Genesis, just like through even the verse we just read in Hebrews 12, just the idea of Jesus who despised the shame and ran, you know, ran the race, and we look to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. So what Jesus asks us to carry, we're going to talk about three things that he asks us to pick up, three things that we were asked to put down: sin, shame, and our burdens. And there's three things that we're told to pick up. And the first one, we're going to look at three different passages too. We'll moving pretty quickly, and they'll be on the screen behind me. But the first one we're going to look at is in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All of us, without exception in this room, know what it means and feels like to be very, very tired physically. You've all had moments where you worked a really, you know, double shift at work, or you had, you know, we're talking about parenting a lot today because it's Mother's Day, but just the idea of that new baby time period where you were in the fog, and it is like, I know why they use this as torture now. Sleep deprivation. I get it. We all know what it's like to feel very, very tired physically. Jesus calls out to people who are very, very tired spiritually. And it's these people who are struggling under the things that we're told we need to put down. This idea, the burdens of sin and shame and just burdens in general, these things carrying us, weighing us down. Jesus cries out to the crowd. He's in Matthew 11. It's this beautiful moment. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, where Jesus just speaks so clearly and so precisely to these people. He says, hey, all of you out there who are weary, who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I come back to this passage time and again during these sermons, and I think because it's such a deep idea, to be so tired that your soul is tired, you're just spiritually weary and like run down. And Jesus says, what I want you to do is take, you'll find rest with me. You can lay down the burdens, lay down the sin, lay down the shame, and then you can take up the yoke upon you that is what it means to follow me. This is specifically follow me. And that's what this idea of yoke, right? If you're yoking cattle to a, you know, wagon or something, or to a plow, and you're going down a path, you have a direction in mind, and you're going somewhere. Jesus says, I want you to follow me, my way of life, my pattern of life. He says, my yoke, take my yoke upon you. Walk with me, and you'll find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That a life with Jesus is not a burdensome thing. It's almost an oxymoron. If you know, I don't know if you have a favorite oxymoron out there, but I wrote down a couple. Act naturally. Is that kind of an oxymoron, right? It's like, if it's natural, are you really acting? That's not, I don't know if you can do both those things. Jumbo shrimp is one that seems to come up a lot. Like if it's, anyway. Self-help, apparently, that's a pretty good one, right? If you're helping yourself, you didn't really need, you know, you don't need help if you can do it yourself. I don't know. Seems to be an oxymoron. But this seems like an oxymoron, a light burden. But that's what Jesus offers. I don't know if you've ever helped someone move, but inevitably this joke, of course you've all helped someone move. I don't know why I said that. Yeah, you've probably helped someone move before. But there's the joke where, so you see someone walking with a big box, and if it's that you're doing like the train, you know, there's someone that's taking the boxes inside and putting them down in the room where they go. And there's the person that's taking the boxes out of the back of the truck, and they've got a big box, and they're going, ooh, it's so heavy, like this. And they give it to you, and you realize it's a box full of pillows. You know what I mean? You've seen this joke before. You probably played it on your, you know, it's the kind of thing when a kid's helping you move, it's like, I don't know if you can handle this one, you know. And it's that joke, right? It's a pretty common one to play on somebody, the really light box. Like, oh, it's so heavy, can you handle it? And it's super light because it's got pillows or blankets or something in it. This is like what I imagine when we think about the light burden that Jesus offers us. He's like, you're already carrying something. There's things that we need to put down. There's things that are burdensome, the sin and the shame and the burdens that we carry. Jesus says, I want you to follow me. So the first thing Jesus asks us to pick up is his way of life. His way of life. That's what he's talking about with this yoke and the burden. He says, my burden is light. You're carrying heavy burdens that make your soul weary and tired, and you're heavy laden. He goes, I want you to come to me and you will find rest. Listen, when you feel like that, when you feel burdened, when you feel just weighed down, when your soul feels tired, know that Jesus is where you should look. Jesus is where you turn. He's the one who provides rest. When he gives us a burden to carry, it's not burdensome, it's light. So Jesus is the one we look to. So the first thing we pick up is Christ's way of life. When we think about this idea, also we should think about the concept of Jesus' priorities become your priorities. That if you're following Jesus' way of life, you're patterning your life after him. The thing that's most important on Jesus' list of priorities becomes your most important thing on your list of priorities. But it's how we pattern our lives. It's how we, the direction we move, the one we are looking to. In the verse we just read, that looking to Jesus, right? We're running that race, and we're looking to Jesus. I just heard recently, I don't know a whole lot about car racing. I know some of you are probably huge fans that could tell me tons of things that I would find fascinating about it, but I found this fascinating, and you might know about this already. You know, when you're driving on a like high speed on a racetrack, they don't look at the wall when they're driving. Do you know why the race car drivers don't look at the wall? Everything's happening so quickly that you'll run into the wall, right? You're looking at, if you start looking at the wall, it doesn't take much of a turn of the wheel for you to hit the wall. So think about that when we're talking about Jesus, looking to Jesus, right? We're looking to him. We're looking at the direction we want to go. Jesus is the one who is leading, and we follow him, and we want to keep going. So second thing that Jesus asks us to pick up is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, and it says this, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what we're asked to pick up is one another's burdens. We're asked to look around us and see who is heavy laden, who is burdened around us, and to help them with what they're struggling with. And that's, you know, the Christian life is meant to be lived together. We're meant to have people in our lives that we are in community with, that we're in relationship with, that we can help each other out when we're going through difficult times. That we and that involves us being real enough with one another to be honest about what we're struggling with, right? To be real and to say, hey, I need someone to help me carry this heavy thing that I'm carrying. And it's talking about in this, I want to give you a little bit of context. If you're doing Bible study, it's before you just pull a verse out and go, that's my verse, I love that verse. It's you need to read what's around it as well to make sure you understand the context of what the verse is saying. That's an important principle in Bible study. And the verse right before it gives us some interesting context. Because Galatians 6, verse 1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, so sin, someone sinning, says, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We, sometimes when we think about the concept of being real enough with somebody to like help them or let them help us carry our burdens, we go, oh, that's okay, yeah, I can do that. I'm struggling with this thing I'm sad that's happening out here in my life. But this passage is encouraging us to be real about sin. It's saying, like, go enter into someone's life in a way that you know what their struggles are. You know the kind of stuff they don't really want to talk about. They'd rather keep hidden to themselves, and you help them bear that burden. Not just the burdens of life events got them down, that sort of thing, although we need to bear one another's burdens that way too. But with sin, like to enter into each other's lives in a way where we can bear one another's burdens. We can help carry the load and be real with one another and help each other out. We need each other. You know, one of the ways we lay those burdens down, Pam's talking about sin, and is to be just honest with each other about our struggles and to confess those sins and to just be honest about what we need and to help each other out. So bearing one another's burdens, even including when it comes to things like sin, and helping each other be successful in your struggle against sin to glorify God. The last thing that Jesus asks us to pick up is that we're going to be talking about this morning is in Luke chapter 9, and this really is the inspiration for the blog post that Pam did, this verse that Jesus asks us to pick up in Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. So Jesus speaking, he says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This passage is talking about something that Pam and I have been talking a lot about, just even at home. In the kitchen, we'll be talking about this. And it's this concept of a life of discipleship, a life that's fully given over to Jesus. Jesus here is talking about an instrument. Like, this is an image that's, we know what a cross is. We see, like, kind of a decorative cross right there on the stage. We see crosses everywhere. It's on our logo. But the societal impact of seeing someone carrying a cross during this time, that was someone going to their death. They were going to be executed on that cross. They're carrying their cross. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to be one of my followers, you have to deny yourself. There's parts of what you feel like is you or things that you identify with that you need to be willing to lay down for the sake of following me. He's saying there's a cost to following me. There's you need to take up your cross. What's the next word? Daily. Wow. Daily? Daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. He says, but if you're trying to keep your life and keep all of your priorities in place and still follow me, he said, you're going to lose it. That's not how this works. He says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And one of the most serious challenges, I think, to American Christianity is this concept of people who have never fully engaged in their relationship with Jesus. It's this half-hearted, like, just cultural kind of faith that doesn't actually work. You know, people kind of look at the Christian faith as like, well, I want to, you know, yeah, we're on board with Jesus. We're big fans of his, you know. We're Christians. We're Americans, so we're Christians, you know. But it doesn't really work in that. Christianity doesn't work in small doses. It works when you go all in. When you say, Jesus, you are my leader, and I want to follow you, and I'm willing to pay any cost to follow you. You are the most important part of my life. You are my priority. I'm going to take up my cross today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. And guess what? You made those decisions every day, that morning. It's like, today I'm going to take up my cross and follow you. Today I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do it tomorrow morning as well. I'm going to make that decision tomorrow morning. And that's such an important concept for us to remember, that we have to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. That is the path. That's the direction. That's how we do it. That's how it works best, is by giving all of it over to Jesus. So when we think about carrying what you need and nothing more, we've talked about three things we lay down, three things we put down, three things that we pick up: Christ's way of life, one another's burdens, and we take up our cross. And that means that we are fully in. We hold nothing back. We follow Jesus with everything we have. And that's the Christian life. That's the way it's meant to be lived. And what we miss out on when we don't live that way is we miss out on all the hope and the joy and being a part of something incredible, being fully engaged in the work of Jesus in this world. And there's no substitute for that. There's nothing like that. So I want to encourage you to think through this kind of idea of what do you need to lay down? What do you need to pick up? Pam's going to read a little section that from her blog post here to kind of help us think about the Christian life, the way that goes.
Yeah, I wrote this last part, and I left a part out, but the part that when I actually posted my blog, the part I took out was I was thinking about my dad, and he passed away 8 years ago. He was at home, and he was surrounded by us. He passed away on Father's Day, and he was just... The way he went to be with the Lord reminded me of just the Christian way. Like he had fought the good fight and he was ready to go. And I just remember thinking through that, and they came to take his body, which is just a weird, if you've ever had to go through that, it's a weird thing to have to go through. He was kind of the first major important person in my life that had passed away. And he came, and the guy that came wasn't anticipating the fact that my dad was sitting in his recliner chair when he passed away and not in a bed, which is just something, you just don't think about those things. And so he was not prepared to actually get my dad to take his body. So he needed our help, which, the idea of picking things up, they're not always what we want to pick up. But the joy that I knew that he wasn't there, he was in heaven, and the way that God spoke to us throughout the next couple of weeks after that was unbelievable. I call them love notes, where God just says, I love you, and he's sending you these songs and messages, and you're just like, okay, I get it. And so this last section, I might have to have you read it. This last section I wrote kind of based on that thought, so.
Then there are times that we've been called on to carry things that God never designed us to have to carry, but because of sin, we carry it with us. Something that we ultimately need Jesus to carry for us. Things like pain, sin, sickness, and death. Putting down a loved one's hand after we've said our final goodbye. Picking up a loved one's things for the last time after they have passed away. Carrying each other as we learn to deal with grief and loss. Those are things God did not want us to ever have to pick up, put down, or carry with us. But Adam and Eve chose to pick up the fruit, and then Jesus chose to pick up his cross. So until Jesus returns, we do what we need or are called on to do. We pick up what he calls us to pick up. We put down what we hope will lead people to the truth. We carry too much and go through the process of learning how to let others carry our load for us, and we wait. We wait for the day when Jesus will pick us up and carry us to God, having taken out of our hands and forever putting down the sin, death, and evil that is in this world, so that we never have to carry its burden again. When you consider that, when you consider this a concept of picking up and putting things down, what is God calling you this morning to put down or to pick up? Maybe there's a specific thing that you're struggling with that you know right now is kind of a moment of decision for you, that you need to lay that sin aside. It's clinging so close. Time to lay it aside. The Bible talks about confession and repentance, that we in prayer, we tell God what we're struggling with, and then we ask for his help to turn from that. Maybe you've never received Jesus today. This is, you're hearing the message about Jesus, and you want to respond to that you need to receive this gift of eternal life that Jesus offers you. that he offers you forgiveness, that we turn from our sins and we receive him in this gift of salvation that he offers because of what he purchased on the cross for us. The Bible says we put our faith in him. We take our trust off of ourselves and we put our trust on him. And maybe you need to pray a prayer, something like that this morning, to put your faith in Jesus for the first time. We've got programs in there. There's a little thing that says a prayer of belief. And in just a few moments when I pray, maybe that's, you need to just pray that prayer and put your faith in Jesus for the first time. Maybe you are struggling with this concept of just kind of this half-hearted thing. You've been struggling with what I affectionately call Christianity light. It's like all the flavor, but half the calories, you know. Half the commitment. Thanks, buddy. Maybe for you, you need to admit that to God, admit that to yourself, that you need to be all in. You don't want to do this half-hearted light thing, that you're going to pick up your cross. You're going to make Christ's priorities your priorities and give him everything you've got and follow him with everything you've got. Listen, I don't know what you're being called to pick up or what you're being called to put down, but I hope that as I pray here in just a moment, that you would put that into a prayer, that you would make that decision that you need to make, and that you would ask God to help you with that. So I'm going to pray for us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Lord, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for speaking through your word of this kind of idea of things that we lay down, things that we pick up. Lord, I'm grateful to be a part of your family. I'm grateful to be a part of this church family. And I thank you for each and every person that's in this room right now, for the little ones that are downstairs and the volunteers working with them today. I pray for every person in this room to think through what it is they need to pick up, what it is they need to put down. Help each and every one of us to know what it is that you want us to, what decisions you're calling us to make. I pray that you would help us to follow you with everything that we have. Lord, to hold nothing back. I pray for anyone in this room who you're calling them to yourself for the first time, that they're to put their faith in you and to know you and to follow you. Lord, I pray that you would help them to do that. Lord, those who have never put their faith in you, I pray right now, Lord, they would begin following you. They'd say, I believe you, I receive the gift you give me, and I want to follow you. But even right now. For those that need to make that decision for full-hearted just devotion to you, Lord, help them with that as well. Lord, specific sins you might be calling us to lay aside, I pray that you would help them, help each and every one of us to regularly go through that process of confessing where we struggle and laying those things aside and moving forward so we can run the race looking to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time together, Lord. I pray a special prayer for the moms here in this room. Lord, thank you for their service. Thank you for the way that they love and the way that they serve you and serve children, serve you by serving their children. Lord, what an important ministry. Lord, I pray for those who maybe are struggling today that this day is difficult as Mother's Day, where they're grieving a loss of some kind. And Lord, I pray for your grace on them. I pray that you would help them, that you'd lift up their heads and give them hope and give them joy, give them peace. Lord, may they look to you as the source of all of that. And Lord, we thank you once again that you're here with us, that you know exactly what we need. Lord, may we put down the things we need to put down. May we pick up the things we need to pick up. Thank you for blessing our time together this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.